hole in them. That mortar will run up internally in those bricks and help hold that brick in that wall and strengthen that wall. Now, you and I are held together as a body of believers by the Holy Spirit of God. That's like the mortar in that brick. Also, I've just said that in that brick, there's holes in that brick. And that mortar gets internal in that brick. Well, guess where the Holy Spirit's at? It's internal in us. And that Holy Spirit holds His church and His body of believers together. Now, did that brick, anywhere you want to go out there and put your finger on brick, did that brick have one thing to do about where it's at in the process of building this building? It had, all it was doing was lying there, and the brick mason picked it up and said, boop, that's where you're going to be. Right. Okay? Let's look at something for just a moment now. Over in the book of Ephesians, I want you to look with me at chapter number 2. Now, you've just made the statement. I asked you a question. How many brick did it take to complete this church building? And you said every single solitary one of them. Okay? And that's exactly what it takes to build His church. Every single solitary person that's ever been saved by the grace of God had been placed into the church and placed in there exactly where God wants them to be. Now you watch in Ephesians, in chapter number 2, he says, in chapter number 2, verse number 19, now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners. Boy, aren't you glad of that? But you're something, but what are you? You're fellow citizens. We're fellow citizens. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We need each other. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're fellow citizens with the saints. And we're what? We're of the household of God. Now, what did we just read over in Timothy? That we ought to learn how we ought to behave ourselves in the household of God. Now, this not only covers us as an individual, but it also covers us as how we ought to behave ourselves, because we are a fixture in the church of the living God. So not only as an individual way we ought to behave ourselves, but also as a church family, a body of believers together, we ought to behave ourselves, because we reflect what? His church. We are a reflection on His church. So we need to behave ourselves. If you say you're a Christian, and I say I'm a Christian, then I ought to live like a Christian. So here he says that we're citizens in the house of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, let's look at something in this verse for just a moment. Let me read it to you again, very carefully. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and who's the chief cornerstone? Jesus Christ Himself. Notice the Himself. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. But there's a little phrase in this verse that got my attention. He said, we're built upon the foundation of what? Of the apostles and prophets. Let that soak in for just a moment. Who carries the gospel message? God's people. God's called ministers. God called pastors, evangelists. And in God's word, we see the apostles and the prophets that carried the gospel message. The gospel message of who? The gospel message of the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And he says, now this church is based on the true gospel message that's been carried year after year after year after year after year. And that gospel message is about the chief cornerstone of the church. And that gospel message is about Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all built on. Now look at else at what he says. In whom? Now, in whom what? In whom? The chief cornerstone is who we're talking about. And what does it say? In whom all the building does what? It says all the building now. It don't say a part of it. It says all the building fitteth frame together. And here's another word. What's the next word? Groweth. Groweth. We don't look at a house or a building and say that's growing, do we? We say they're building that house. But God, what does God say? God says it's growing. He says, I'm growing it. It's alive. It's alive. His church is alive. It's not a fixture. It's a live group of individuals, you and I, who are saved by His marvelous grace. And we're growing. And even we as an individual grow daily. What are we here this morning for? I don't know. I've studied this week to try to learn more about God's Word and grow in knowledge of His Word. And I think that's the reason we come to church. Yes. To grow. And it says we grow unto a what? A holy temple. Next word. In the Lord. In the Lord. In the Lord. We grow, our strength comes through and by Him, and we grow in Him. And every one of us are fitted into the church and framed in the church like He so wills. In whom we also are built together. With what? We're built how? We're built together. And we're built together for what cause, what reason, what purpose? For a habitation of who? Of God. Through what? Through the Holy Spirit. So we're all built and we're framed together and we're fitted together. And we're fitted together in the house of God. And we're set there through and by the Holy Spirit. That's what we grow by. So the church is a growing vessel of God. And I hope and pray that somebody today, He'll lay them in that spot. One of these days, I think about the church like this sanctuary. And we can start this morning, and you can start filling up every one of these pews. But after a while, it's what? There's going to be one seat left, and you're going to fill that seat. And when that's done, what you going to say about this church? It's full. And one of these days, and it won't be long, I don't think, the last person that's ever going to accept Christ as the Lord and Savior go take their seat in the Word of, in the house of God. And He's going to say, son, blow that trumpet and bring my children out of that mess. Amen. And we're going home.
Amen.
And we're going home. And we're going to be a part of that eternal church forever. I don't know about you. It excites me a little bit.
Amen.
In fact, it excites me a whole lot.
Hallelujah.
A whole lot. Especially when you get old. And them golden years ain't golden, as they talk about.
Yeah.
That'll just make you look that much forward to His golden year. That's what we're looking for.
Yes,
all right, so now let's talk about Would you go back with me now to Matthew for just a moment? Let's talk about this church. All the way back to the book of Matthew. And we're going to look at chapter number 16. Verse number 15. And Jesus is talking. He said unto them, but whom, this is Christ, but whom say ye that I am? You know, that's a pretty good question. Who do you say Christ is? I hope that every one of us in here this morning, and every one of those who are listening in this morning, if they was asked this question, whom do you say? If Christ was to ask you this question this morning, whom do you say? What if he's looking at him face to face? Of course, you'd have to be dead because this human body couldn't stand that. You know, I thought about wonder how it was with Sister Peggy. Whom do you say that I am? Can you say this morning that you are the Christ, my Lord and Savior, the one and only Savior of mankind? Can you say that this morning? Boy, I hope you can say that this morning. But it says, whom do ye say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Boy, that covers it, don't it? Can you say that this morning? And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood hath what? Not revealed it unto thee. Flesh and blood don't reveal God's word to us. The Holy Spirit reveals it. But my Father which is in heaven, through the Spirit. And he says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And here we know, he said, they say he's building a rock on me. He said, listen, Peter, just as sure as you are Peter, I'm Christ. You've just said that I'm Christ, Son of the living God. Well, just as sure as you are Peter, I'm him. And just as sure as you are Peter, I'm him, that this is going to happen on. So what does he say is going to happen? He says, and upon this rock, I will build my what? My church. And boy, look at the next statement. And the gates of hell shall not do what? Prevail against it. We're on the winning team, folks. Amen. We're on the winning team. Gates of hell, Satan do what he wants to do and stop up and down, whatever, but God's bigger than he is and greater than he is, and he's going to fail and go to hell. That's his eternal home. He said those gates will not prevail. Now, look at a thing or two. I want you to look at what Paul says over his conversion in Acts. I need to mark these things so it won't take me so long to get to them, all right? We want to look, if you will, at Acts chapter number 9. And we'll just read a couple of verses to you. Look what Paul says on the Damascus Road. Of course, we know he was Saul at this time. His name was changed to Paul. And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of who? Of the Lord. Went into the high priest. And it says, what did he do? And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way. Now, we're looking at what the church is made of. And we're talking about something not this building that we're in. We're talking about individuals. And here, I think, is as much proof as we'd ever need. Because he says, what did he want to do? What was his desire to do? If he found any in this way, whether they were what? Men or women. He didn't care. What did he want to do? He might bring them how? Bound to Jerusalem. So now, was he worried about a building? Or was he worried about people? People. He was worried about God's church. God's church is made up of people. You and I. And of course, we find if we went on down as he journeyed on. Let me read the third verse. I'm going to read it for a reason. I'm going to come back. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shineth round about him a light from heaven. So keep that phrase light in your mind as we look at this. Now go with me over to Galatians. I want to go with me to Galatians in chapter number 1 of the book of Galatians. In verse number 11. Let's start with verse number 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God. So if we try to please all mankind, we're going to have a hard time serving the Lord, right? But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after what? Man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, I didn't receive it by man, I was taught it. And what was I taught it by? I was taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past. Notice he says, you've heard of my conversations when? In times past. Well, I hope all of us have left a whole lot of stuff behind. He says, conversations in time past in the Jewish religion. Make a note of what he's talking about. In the Jewish what? Religion. And anything contrary to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is just religion. We're talking about gospel. Now, how that beyond measure I persecuted what? The church of God. And did what? And wasted it. And wasted it. Now, if somebody is listening or happen to listen to this sometime later, and you think that your sin is too great and too much for God to forgive, you might need to consider Paul. Because what was Paul doing? Paul was persecuting the church of the living God. He wanted to kill every Christian he could find. Paul was a bad man. He was a mean man. But what happened to him? Well, I'm going to read another verse to you just to clarify that a little bit in verse number 15. But when it pleased God, now you might want to take note of that phrase. Who's in command? When it did what? Pleased God. At the proper time, God got his attention. One day he got my attention. I hope one day he got your attention. But he said it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his what? Grace. To reveal his son to me that I might preach him among the who? Heathen. And what did he do? What's that next word? Immediately. He said, immediately I did what? I conferred, and I did it not with what? It wasn't the old man in him that did it. The old man didn't draw him that away. The old man didn't put him there. That new man, that born-again man, he conferred. Now, rather than trying to destroy the church, he's going to build the church. In 1 Corinthians, back up just a little bit to 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter. In verse number 9. Paul said, for I am the least of the apostles that I am not meant to be called an apostle, because I did what? I persecuted the church. You know, we're human, and Paul was human too. And sometimes we have a lot more trouble forgiving ourselves than God does forgiving us. And as I look at God's word, it seems like that burden hung with Paul. He just could not. He just could not totally push it aside, what he'd done to the church of his Lord and Savior and how he had persecuted it. And he said, I persecuted the church, not the buildings. We've already established it's the people. What I'm trying to point to you this morning is the church is not a building. The church is who's in the building. Benson Grove Baptist Church is a building. But that's just the framework. This church is you and I and those of us who are internal in this building doing the work of God, what he's called us to do. And that's the reason he's saying we want to know how to behave ourselves. Or to know how to behave ourselves. Not only as an individual that has Christ within us and being the temple of God, but as a incorporated group that make up a part of the Church of God. Because you as an individual and Benson Grove Baptist Church as a group reflect our Lord Jesus Christ. And this church as a group need to be doing those things that exalt him. Amen. That gets everybody's eye off of us as people and look at him, because it's him. And you're sitting in a place this morning that by the grace of God we were blessed to be able to sit in. Because I can think back, I wish all of you could have experienced the whole process from over there to here. because it's an unbelievable process. But nothing's too great for God.
Amen.
And we sit here this morning and see the results of that. But Paul said, I persecuted the church, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now notice, I am what I am because of what? Because of the grace and the mercy and the love and the kindness, and you just keep on adding. Of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in what? Now, that should be our testimony. The grace and the mercy that God has shed on us by saving us by His marvelous grace, it should not be in vain. What does that mean? That means we ought to be working and living for Him, doing something for the cause of Christ, spreading the gospel message, telling somebody about a wonderful Lord and Savior. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but what? The grace of God, which was where? With me, was with me. So who does Paul put all the glory and praise and strength to? He said, it won't me. It's what's internal in me that's driving me. Christ is driving me. God's driving me through the precious Holy Spirit and making me what I am. He says, therefore, because now, notice he says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not what? Not I. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. That's the thing that was driving me to make me do what I did. And he says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we did what? We preached, and so ye what? Ye believed. We preached, and ye believed. Now, goes back for just a moment. I thought I'd finish this today, but I'm not going to finish this today. And I'm not going, we got just a couple of minutes, so I'm not going, I want to go a little bit deeper into this when we get that. I want you to think on that verse that we read as our memory verse, so to speak. The pillar and ground. The pillar and the ground. I want to talk about that a little bit in the process of completing this study on how we ought to behave ourselves in the church. I'll leave you with this morning. Lord, help us to behave ourselves. God bless you.